Recently, there was a full-page feature article in the local Lake Oswego paper on the development of the last 10 years in this country, where American people are now able to speak more candidly and openly about death. It's very wholesome, because a person is able to lead a very productive life once that person has accepted and internalized the fact that someday we will die and then rise. Now today we celebrate the feast of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. And when we spoke of heaven 2 weeks ago, asking where is it, that was an anticipation or a preface to the celebration of today's mystery. What we celebrate today is the same mystery that we celebrate on Easter Sunday, except today we celebrate the mystery of the resurrection as it applies to the mother of our Lord. There's a well-known book called Rumor of Angels, and at the very end, the author says that the ultimate test of any religion is the banners that it places in the hands of people as they march to their inevitable fate of death. In other words, a test of religion, or the kind of religion, is what kind of an attitude does that religion give to its believers regarding this mystery that St. Paul speaks about today. That is so true. Religion is for living as well as dying. And St. Paul calls death the last of the enemies that Christ confronted. It is the last and the most awesome, simply because death appears to annihilate the very center of one's personality, which is one's self. In the words of a Jack Lemmon play, when a friend dies, you've lost a friend, but when you die, you lose everyone. Or so it seems. Now here is the good news. It is here that the church makes its most astonishing and exhilarating claim that should give us the hope that we need. Our faith dares to believe in the resurrection of the body, something that is so thoroughly misunderstood as to what it really means. The Christian faith says this of Jesus, but the Catholic Church also speaks of the Assumption of Mary, affirming once again through this doctrine that resurrection means more than the survival of the soul. Now, so many of us have not appreciated the implications of this feast day because of misunderstandings. And that is why this feast of Mary's Assumption is a good time to appreciate the divine promise that has been made to each single one of us. We are asked to believe by the Church that our continuity and expansion as persons, not just souls, is in our future with the mystery that we call God. And that future already has been exemplified in his son and in his son's mother, Mary. What happened to them will someday happen to us. Now first we ask, what is the difference between the immortality of the soul and the resurrection of the body? Isn't it a lot easier to believe in the first, the immortality of the soul? simply because the body, at death, simply lies there, inert, lifeless. First of all, we are not souls. We are persons. And we become persons only in and through bodies. Through our parents' bodies, then our bodies, and the interaction of a whole world of bodies, or a world of matter in which we live. We do not inhabit a spiritual or non-physical universe. The eternal life that Jesus promised to each of us is not afterlife. That is a word that is weak, impoverished, and we should abandon it. Life is changed, not taken away. Neither is eternal life merely some continuity of the present life. It's not the present life without troubles. The body that we now have at resurrection is not going to be resuscitated or a rejuvenated corpse. The body will not be an improved edition of the present frame that we carry about with us now. Rather, the heart of the mystery is that we are speaking of a new creation. Be it Easter, be it Assumption, be it Christ, be it Mary, or ourselves, and all who have gone before us, we are speaking of a new creation, a new fullness of life, in which we still will retain our personal identity. The body, in this life, has been our form, our modality, our mode of existence, our point of contact with reality. The body is not merely the house of the soul, because that analogy implies that the soul can move on to another house, which undoes reincarnation. Rather, look upon it this way to understand resurrection of the body. It is like the score of a symphony. Let us say that it is the only score. Now, that score can be transposed, it can be orchestrated more fully, it can be enlarged upon, it can be enriched for a better presentation. And the body, without which there can be no me, undergoes in the composer's hands the same kind of transformation. The composer here is our Lord and the Father. Now consider our humanity. All of our sensory impressions, all the sounds that we shape into words and music, all that our sight can reassemble, all that taste and touch and smell delight in, all of these are building blocks, the inputs of energy and reality which form and shape us as persons. And we often speak of our spiritual faculties, mind and will, or the spiritual part of us. And certainly we speak of the soul, considering at the very heart of our being. But the mind and the will are not two angels living in a cage that we call our body. Because now we understand, with the help of psychology, what the Hebrew people who wrote the Bible always understood, that the body, imperfect though it is not just a part of us. It is the form that expresses the whole of us. And we might say that in the human person, the flesh serves the mind and is touched by the spirit. The flesh serves the mind and is touched by the spirit. Now, what the Greeks called soul, the Hebrew people called life. And that makes a big difference. And we who are neither Hebrew nor Greek, we are neither Hebrew nor Greek, but we are the heirs of their wisdom. We can use either word. But the heart of the matter is that God is at the heart of all matter. God is at the heart of all matter, transforming it by his power, with us as co-creators. Soul, spirit, psyche, life principle, the divine life, all of these are words that suggest the potential and the mystery of our bodies and ourselves. Our bodies are not cages or prisons. They may seem that way because so often our spirits become restless and they wander. We feel imprisoned at times. Actually, what we are feeling is our own limitation because we're held down. It's hardly surprising because we are finite. And that is why to escape that, we need to aspire to God and to somehow share in his infinite delight. But we cannot exist without a form, what some thinkers call our symbol, and that is our body. It is matter. Now, this is the final clue that took all these centuries to discover how matter can be transformed at resurrection. Matter is always being transformed. Matter is always being transformed. We know now, even in basic courses of physics, that matter is energy. This wooden pulpit is actually energy, not just some kind of motionless stuff. And that's why today it's not difficult for a modern person to believe that the body, as an expression of what I am, can undergo a vast change. Our body can undergo a vast transformation because it is matter. Matter is energy. And so the church points to this change when it speaks of resurrection and assumption, saying that the same living God who created each of us the way we are now can recreate us, can transform us into a new mode of existence. That is the explanation of how the risen Christ was able to appear to his disciples after the resurrection. It is a new mode of existence that the God who created us as we are now is able to recreate us, and that our precious matter, which is our body, has an infinite capacity for life. And so, we should all look forward to what's going to happen. Our bodies, as we understand them now, as we live in them, live through them, do have some well-known imperfections. But the whole point that we have to look forward to is life with the mysterious presence of the Lord, eternal life, at which time all of these imperfections will be removed. And even more than that, it does not just mean perfect health. Even the limitations of time and space will be removed. The saddest moments in our lives are when what we looked forward to and enjoyed has passed. And that can only happen if we become a new kind of being, risen from this existence at the touch of the Lord's hand. And so that is what the church believes has happened at the resurrection of Christ at Easter, the Assumption of Mary, his mother, and assures us